the book of John chapter 4. John chapter 4. There's some statements made in the fourth chapter of the book of John by the Lord Jesus Christ himself, and I think they're wonderful statements, and statements that perhaps are misunderstood by some, and of course understood by others. I'm going to read beginning in verse 1 and go down for a few verses, especially down to at least verse 24. And he says, "And therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not but his disciples. He left Judea and departed again into Galilee. And he must needs go through Samaria. And cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus therefore, being wearied with his journey, set thus on the well. It was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. Whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman saith unto him, Sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Jesus saith unto her, Go call thy husband and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, Thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In that saidst thou truly. The woman said unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and you say that in Jerusalem is a place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship, ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now he is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Lord, I want to thank you again for letting us have another privilege to come together in your house, the place where you've designated for us to meet with you. We're thankful for the ones that are present. You know what the needs of every person is. There's people here that are saved. By your marvelous grace belong to you. And we're thankful for the blessings and benefits that you have for us and give to us daily. There are people here that are not saved. And Lord, we pray that it would please you to save them. You know who they are. You know their names. You know all about them. And so, Father, I pray that even in this service tonight, that you would be pleased to work a work of grace in their hearts. And that they would, even before they leave here, have a thirsting that cannot be quenched, a desire, Lord, that cannot be satisfied. And the only thing that would bring them to where they'd be satisfied would be to be saved, to receive you. Jesus is talking about this here in this passage of Scripture here in chapter 4 of John. And we know then that when they're saved, that they'll never have that thirst again, that is to be saved. But they'll have other desires after they are saved, and that's to serve Him. Now, Father, help us as we come into this service that it might be to Your honor and glory. And we're thankful for the song that's been sang, and the prayers that's been said. And we pray even now for the preaching service that You'd be pleased to bless us and use us for Your honor and glory, even in this. All these we requested prayer for. You know who they are and where they are and what their needs are. And we pray, Father, You'd be pleased to work mightily according to Your purpose and plan, and bring about the things that they need, both among the saved, the unsaved, the young, the elderly, the sick, those that are well, that You may be pleased to work mightily in their hearts and lives. Now I pray that You'd forgive me of my sin. In Jesus' name I ask it all. Amen. Statements made here. I've heard people through the years say, when it comes down to, you know, serving the Lord and worshiping the Lord, they say, well, all that matters is that you just worship God. Well, I believe that Jesus sets forth the criteria here, or instructions in the way to worship God. Now, you can claim to worship God, and you can even go through the forms or mode of worshiping God and yet not worship Him. And I believe that the Lord has always had designated places where people would meet together and they would worship the Lord. Now, it does not mean that you cannot serve the Lord, or that you cannot praise the Lord with your life, or that you cannot, in a sense, worship the Lord individually. It does not mean that. You can. I believe that one of the greatest times that any person can have that is saved by the grace of God is to be alone with the Lord. And perhaps some of the greatest times that you've ever had is when the Holy Spirit would seemingly overwhelm you to the place as to where that you would humble yourselves and bow before Almighty God. Not another person around, nobody else knowing what you're thinking or knowing anything about it. Just you and the Lord. That can be, as some would say, in your closet. It can be back over in the woods where you're by yourself. Or it can be when you're alone at home. Or it can be when you're driving in the automobile. Or it can be just any place. But we'll find that the Lord has always designated certain places to where that God's people would come together, meet, and worship the Lord. In the Old Testament, it's also true in the New Testament. Now, Jesus made a statement here, and He said, "Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father." And the Samaritans had a place where that they would gather for their worship, and the Jews had a place where they would gather for their worship, and that was at Jerusalem, because that's where the temple was. In the Old Testament, it started off as a place where was an altar to where that you would worship God, and then it went from the altar to the tabernacle, and then from the tabernacle to the temple. And now today, the Lord has brought it over in the New Testament times into the New Testament church, where that you assemble together and you worship the Lord. Now, as I said, I believe there's times that we have some great experiences with the Lord by ourselves when we're saved. But they are nothing to compare with or as great as when we're in one of the Lord's churches and His presence and His power is there. This is what I told a young preacher when we was talking at the hospital the other day, and I told him this. I said, here's what you've got to understand. And he had several questions for me. Why we do this, and why y'all say this, and why you do this, and why you do that. And I said, it's like this. When you're saved by the grace of God, immediately the Holy Spirit takes up abode within you. Immediately. You're not saved without the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit immediately, there is the dwelling presence of the Holy Spirit immediately goes within you, and He does not leave. that are not forsaken. And that's immediately. And every saved person has that. Every person that is saved by the grace of God has the Holy Spirit dwelling within them. And that's why that you can boldly go before the throne of grace. That's why that you can boldly go before God through the Lord Jesus Christ, because of the Holy Spirit that indwells us, and we belong to Him, and we're one of His. And that's why that you as an individual can worship the Lord. That's why you can get aside and pray and read and study your Bible, and the Holy Spirit leads you and guides you, and you can meditate upon the Word of God, and you can receive such a blessing doing that. But then there is a difference in when that we're worshiping the Lord alone and when we're worshiping the Lord as a church. Now I realize tonight we come here as a New Testament church, and all of us that are saved have the Holy Spirit dwelling within us, every one of us individually. And I think of what a wonderful thing that is. What a wonderful blessing that is. Brother, you have the Holy Spirit, and you have the Holy Spirit, and I have the Holy Spirit, and your sisters have the Holy Spirit that are saved. By the grace of God, He's indwelling every one of us that are saved. And so we know that we're saved, and His Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the sons of God. And we have the assurance that greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. That's the Holy Spirit. It's greater than the devil, the prince of the power of the air. And the Holy Spirit leads us and guides us and directs us. And how thankful we ought to be for that. And that's not all. Then when we meet together as a New Testament church, where the Lord has told us to meet, where the Lord has saved us and added us to, as I preach this morning, then there is even a greater significance placed upon worship, because not only does the Holy Spirit indwells us, but the Holy Spirit indwells this church. And the people that are saved by the grace of God, members of this body, is the church. So I said, here's the way it is. You all remember Elijah, the great old man of God, the great prophet that God used mightily of God. And you know, a lot of times he got on the juniper tree like we did, and you know, he thought that the prophets of Baal, and he thought nobody was serving the Lord but him. The Lord said, I've got 7,000 that hasn't bowed the knee, reserved, hasn't bowed the knee to Baal. You're not the only one, Elijah. And how that God dealt with him bountifully. And then he told him he was going to take him off the sea, and Elisha was going to follow. And Elisha followed along Elijah and said, I want a double portion of the Spirit. I want a double portion of the Spirit. And the difference between people that are saved and in true churches of the Lord Jesus Christ and people are not is that we have a double portion of the Spirit. Not only do we have the Holy Spirit indwelling us, but the Holy Spirit indwells this church. I told the man, I said, that's why you're a Baptist. You want to know, that's why you're a Baptist. And when it took place at Pentecost. That's when it took place at Pentecost. Because the Holy Spirit came upon the church of the Lord Jesus Christ and empowered them to carry out an extended commission and gave them the ability and the power. You have power to witness as an individual, but you have even power as a member of this body. He is, in a sense, a double portion of the Holy Spirit. That's why that you can have a blessing by yourself, but you can have a greater blessing when you come together and assemble as a church. Have you ever wondered why? That you can think of things and things come to your mind and the Lord blesses you in the services and you don't have that at other times. Have you ever wonder why that is? It's just exactly as to what that I've said and what's been said here. But so then, the idea or the thought is, and the primary purpose, and I know the purpose of a New Testament Baptist church is to carry out the commission. I know that's the purpose, Matthew chapter 28, 18 through 20. I know that. But when we assemble for one purpose, and that's to worship the Lord. And to bring honor and glory to Him, we worship the Lord with our singing. All of our singing should worship the Lord, should glorify the Lord. We worship the Lord when we pray, we worship the Lord when we teach, and we worship the Lord when we preach. Our motive ought to be to come to worship the Lord. And I tell you, it makes a difference how you come. It makes a difference how you are after you get here. And it makes a difference how you leave. If you don't come right, you ain't going to worship. And after you get here, if you don't stay right, you're not going to worship. And if you leave that way, you've not worshiped. And you say, I might as well have not gone. Has people ever said that? Has anybody ever thought it or said it? Well, certainly. And the reason for it was you never did get an attitude to worship the Lord. And the purpose, the primary purpose for us to coming together is to glorify God and to worship God. And we do it in the things that He has designed for His churches to do. To teach, to preach, and to pray, and to sing. And in every one of them, those things that God has given us as a church, we worship the Lord. Now, what I like here, our church service can be to worship God. I said it can be. But it cannot be too. Don't become so alarmed. Don't you feel like that there's been services that we've really not worshiped the Lord because things just weren't right? When we come together, there was something, you know, that was either in me or in you or in somebody else that would hinder and keep us from worshiping the Lord the way that we ought to, and have the liberty and the freedom when we come together to worship Him. But then we find, but it can be to praise men and to give them the glory. Now, I'm a stickler on this. I really am. I want you to love me. I want you to respect me. But that's what I want. That's all I want. I don't want no plaques. I don't want no monuments. I don't want no pews. I don't want no pulpits named after me. I don't want nothing like that.
Amen, brother.
And I don't want no service. I don't want no Harold Harvey Day.
Amen.
I don't want no Harold Harvey Day. The preacher just said, Chris Mayer tonight said, now we're going to, certain me, we're going to meet and we're going to honor so-and-so. And I thought to myself, yeah, and I ain't going to be there. I ain't going nowhere. I don't care how much I love them, how much I think of them, to honor some man. Nothing wrong with respecting a person. There's nothing wrong with loving a person. And there's nothing wrong with giving the praise that's due to a person. But you don't honor men. You honor the Lord. And we don't come together to worship men. We come together to worship the Lord. I ain't going. And I ain't going to even tell you where it is and when it's going to be. Now that's how hard I am on that. Because I really believe that. I believe our church, I believe in the main, our church feels that way. I really do. I believe that you do. I know some of you well enough that I believe you believe that and feel that way yourself. Now notice, and I thought this was a wonderful thought here in verse 23. All these are wonderful thoughts, but look in verse 23 again. It's John 4. But the hour cometh and now is. Now look. When the true worshipers. Now there can be some worshipers, but they're not true worshipers. If they're not true worshipers, if they're not worshiping the Lord, who are they worshiping? But you've got to remember, churches aren't built on men. Churches are built on the Lord Jesus Christ. And churches are built on truth. Any building that's built on me while I'm here, it won't last after I'm gone. But it'll be gone too. But you build a church on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you build a church on truth, and regardless as to any man that you call that is a man of God and believes the truth, it'll go right on. will stay and remain the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. I've seen them flower out with men, and I've seen them blossom with men, and I've seen them wilt with men too. But now look, that isn't all that he has here. Now notice. The hour cometh, and now he is, when the true worshipers shall, and true worshipers will. I mean, you can't keep true worshipers from worshiping the Lord. I mean, and he says, worship the Father in spirit and in truth. Now that's going to be, I'm going to talk about that a little bit later on, but look at this. Now look at the next statement. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. Now, he don't seek every kind of worshiper, but he seeks true worshipers. He seeks after worshipers that love him, that love the truth. Worshippers that are willing to follow the truth. Worshippers that are willing to serve him. And the Lord seeks those kind. And I thought, this is a wonderful blessing. Now, first of all, I want us to think about how to worship. I personally believe that many times, and I'm guilty of this, I believe many times in the Lord's house, that is the church of the Lord, we don't really act in the manner that we should. Now let me explain what I mean by that. I think sometimes we're too frivolous. I think sometimes, and I'm not saying that you have to be a prune. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying you have to never smile. I'm not saying that you have to be, it has to be pomp and circumstances or all formality or all program or all order. I'm not saying that. I think sometimes we're too frivolous. We got too many other things on our mind. We discuss too many other things in the house of the Lord, when really we ought to come here for the purpose to know that we're in the presence of the Lord and to worship the Lord. And that will change our mannerisms. It'll change how we act and what we do. It'll change how we come in and how we go out. It'll change what we say while we're here, and it'll change what we do while we're here. If we have this perspective of really what it means, and if we can really get in our hearts that the Lord's here, we're meeting with the Lord. Too many people have got the idea that we're meeting one with another, you know, and all the emphasis is put on individuals or people, but we're meeting with the Lord. The Lord's here, and the Lord's speaking to us through the Word of God. I thought of many times, occasions in the Old Testament, the reverential fear that would come upon the people, and when the Word of God was read, they'd all stand. And so there's just many mannerisms and things that we go through, but the different ways or the different kinds of worship, and there's two that are mentioned here, and they're mentioned right here in verse 23, shall worship the Father. It says, in spirit and in truth. Now what blesses my heart about this is this. You can go on over in the book of John. You can go to the 14th chapter, 15th chapter, 16th chapter, and you can talk of, and you can see where Jesus speaks of the Holy Spirit and what the Holy Spirit is going to do, and that he's going to dwell in you, and he's going to be, there's an everlasting presence there, and he's going to lead you and guide you and direct you, and he's going to comfort you. But the thing that blesses my heart about this is the Word of God, even Jesus himself, puts together two things. That's the Spirit and truth.
Amen.
And they're inseparable. They're inseparable. They're given to us that we might be able to worship the Lord, to truly worship the Lord. And it comes and it brings this to my heart and my mind, is that where the Holy Spirit is, there'll be truth. And where there's truth, there'll be the Holy Spirit. And don't ever accuse the Holy Spirit, as I said this morning, as some do, of leading you to do something that's contrary to truth. It's contrary to the Word of God. There's some things I can emphatically say that I know can't be and are not right. It's because it's contrary to what the Word of God says. And people say the Holy Spirit leads them to do it, and I know that He doesn't. And so it's very important that when we come together, that there's ways of worship, worship in spirit and worship in truth. They are two aspects of the same worship. It's the one and the same worship, spirit and truth. And you can't worship the Lord without either one of them.
Amen.
They're always together, and they're always working together, and they're always, what's the Holy Spirit doing? The Holy Spirit's present, not only in individuals, He's present in our service, and what's He leading us to? He's leading us and showing us truth. And He's guiding us into truth, and He's directing us into truth, and He's opening our hearts to truth, and we're receiving the truth. That's what enables us to really worship the Lord. And if you get some kind of an idea, or if you get something in your mind that you're going to do, or that you think the Lord's leading you to do, and it's contrary to the Word of God, mark it down. It's not the Holy Spirit that's leading you. And when you do that, and when you go that way, then you're not worshiping the Lord either. You're not worshiping Him. So we see these are two aspects of the same worship. Now, spiritual worship is the opposite of mere external rites which pertain to the flesh. Now, you can't really worship the Lord in spirit and truth without getting the flesh involved. And the reason for that is your tabernacle, your Holy Spirit, is in this old tabernacle or in this flesh. And if you really worship the Lord, it's going to affect this flesh. And there's some things that you are going to do, and there's some things that you are going to say. But there is a difference, and spiritual worship is just the opposite of that which totally pertains to the flesh. There's so much today, I'm afraid, that we have incorporated or brought into our services that is to satisfy the flesh and to please the flesh and to please people's lust and to please their ideals and to please their thoughts and to please what they want to do. And it's not pleasing to God. So many things that get into our churches that way, and people feel like that they've really worshiped the Lord. I found out a long time ago, somebody said, they said, well, you've got to really get in there and get people worked up. And some people think that. Some people think that, well, and there's several ways now they think you can do it. Now, I'm going to just give you a few of them. I'm not telling you to do this, and I'm not an advocate of this. They said, well, now if you can get them to clap in their hands. I've heard some churches, I didn't know whether they ball game or whether they were, or whether, where they were, by the way, they're clapping their hands and hollering, whistling, you know, and just like the world would. Said, well, get them to clap their hands, and then I said, you know, well, get them involved some way. Said, you'll get them all worked up, and you'll have a great service. It'll wilt just as fast as you worked it up. But I tell you what, when you come with truth, under the leadership of the Holy Spirit and the presence of the Holy Spirit will do the working. The Holy Spirit is the one that will take the truth, and He will apply it where He wants you to apply it and to whom He wants you to apply it to. And one fellow may leave all worked up, but he may be mad. And one may leave rejoicing in his heart because of what he's heard and the truth, and rejoicing that that's his condition. One may leave saying, I'll never be back there again. You know, I mean, I believe basically this is what Jesus is talking about. And I don't believe that we ought to try to take things in our own hands. I believe we ought to totally depend and rely upon the Holy Spirit when we come in the house of the Lord. And I know, as some of my preacher brethren, I know through the years, this has been a problem that I've had, and others, you know, And especially when I was younger, and maybe after I got older too, but you know, you get to the place to where you preach and you think you can make people do it. Tell you what it'll do, it'll kill you. It'll give you ulcers. You'll have heart trouble, you know, or have a lot of other things that'll happen to you. What you got to do is to preach the Word of God and just praise God for the Word and let the Holy Spirit, and just rely, not let Him, but just rely upon the Holy Spirit to work as He pleases. It's just the same thing after a person is saved as it before they're saved. Same Holy Spirit that leads and guides and directs and works. And so we see that, you know, and I believe that I know when we've come together in the house of the Lord and when we really worship the Lord, when the Lord's given us a good service and we rejoice in the Word of God and we felt the presence, the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives upon the preacher as he preached the Word of God. And then we've seen the manifestation of it in our hearts and in our lives. We acknowledge that, and I believe that we ought to acknowledge that. And the Lord is well pleased. And that's what He wants. He seeks that. The Lord seeks that. Now, true worship is to worship Him according to truth. Now, if you're trying to worship the Lord and you're not doing it according to truth, what is it? It's worship, but it's not true worship. It carries with it the force of not worshiping in pretense. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we could, by the grace of God and by the Holy Spirit, come to church and come motivated by love, and because that we felt like we was going to meet with the Lord and we was anxious to get there? Wouldn't it be wonderful? And it ought to be that way. And it can be that way. Wouldn't that be wonderful? It's almost like sometimes when people are going to church, if they're going to the dentist, going to have maybe two teeth pulled and you know, a root canal and a bunch of fillings all at the same time. They almost feel that way. They don't feel that way at all. It ought to be that. Thank God the Lord's given us this day that we can arise and we can go to meet with the Lord and we can worship Him in truth and in spirit, and we can get out of this rat race for a while and get our mind and our thought off of it and put our mind and our thoughts on God. What a blessing. That's why I sort of said Wednesday night's a booster. I don't mean like a booster shot at all, the effects of it. It's greater than a booster. But it affects the spiritual man. It encourages the spiritual man and builds up the spiritual man. And when you come in the attitude that God would have you to, and you come with truth, and you come by the leadership of the Holy Spirit, by the direction of the Holy Spirit, and you come into the house of the Lord, you're going to worship. Amen. And you will worship, and you'll leave here not feeling empty, not feeling like it was wasted time, and even the time will go by quicker for you. And you'll leave here rejoicing in the Lord. And I believe this is exactly what the Lord seeks for us to do. Much of that which is termed worship is fleshly rather than spiritual. It is external, spectacular, rather than internal, and bringing reverence to God.
Where people say to me, and I understand this, bless their heart. I get up, I've gone places, and I've preached in meetings, and I've preached in conferences, and I've preached under the power of demonstration of the Holy Spirit and preached my heart out, and they've said, "We sure enjoyed your little talk." That's all they heard. You know why it was that way? The way they came and the reason they came and what they came for. And then I've heard people say, and I don't really know what they mean by this, but said, "Wasn't that really a beautiful service?" I don't know what they mean by that. I should ask them, I imagine, sometime what they mean by that. I let that go by, though. Sure was a beautiful service. Well, I thought there's been some great services. I thought there's been some wonderful services. I thought there's been some services that the Lord has really blessed us, and the Lord's really fed us, and the Lord's really edified us and built us up.
I don't know what they mean by that was a real beautiful service. Usually it's like this. That's number one. You never move from behind the pulpit. And you never raise your voice. Someone said, since we started taping, you're walking an awful lot, and I stay over them mics. Frank said, you can hear him anyway, he's hollering. You know, I said, we got it on tape, said he's hollering. I said, you can hear him. It's on there, it's all on there. And you know, I've got an inkling that's what they mean by a beautiful service. And I've had people tell me, said, you preach too late. Said, you hurt my ears. You know, and I don't do that purposely. I don't do that, but I tell you what, Luke and Christopher's gonna know who I am. I'd say they already do. Now they may jump every now and then, I don't look for them to jump up and say amen, you know, or something like that. But you know, it may scare them, or they may jump, but they know I'm here, and they know where they are. Said, baby can't sleep. But I tell you what, I know. I do know. He's in the presence of the Lord, and he's among God's saints, and he's where the preaching of the Word of God is. And that's really a blessing. And we ain't got him stuck off in some corner down here somewhere either. I mean, I'm not opposed to that. You got to go down there and trim them down and change their dirty diaper, whatever you got to do, but bring them back. Bring them back up here. They needed us. They need it. They need it. And I believe that much of this, and I feel like that what has happened in many times in some places is people have become so filled with pride and they don't want nobody to sing a sour note. It would ruin their choir. Some people got in their choir, ruin it. I'll tell you the greatest blessing to me there. There's an elderly lady that goes to Bryan Station Baptist Church. To man, she can't carry a tune in a book. But to God, she's one of the most beautiful singers that ever sung. And everywhere she goes, she saves. And it thrills people's hearts. She doesn't have the ability to sing like Linda or some of the other people that can sing Madonna music, but she sings to the Lord. And she does it to worship the Lord. And it blesses people's hearts. And I can imagine Brother Gormley wouldn't say no to her, or the church at Bryan Station wouldn't say no to her for anything. But there's a lot of people would. They'd think she was an old weary wart or a bother, and they wouldn't want her. Said, she can't sing. She's out of tune. How do you know? I don't know whether she's out of tune or not. I believe God knows whether or not she's in tune. Her heart's in tune. And she's singing to worship the Lord. And she worships the Lord. She praises the Lord in her singing. She sang over there at that revival at Grace. She's not bashful about asking either. She'll come right in and ask. And so I believe that much that has happened today, and much has happened to us, is pride. It's pride. We've been lifted up in pride. And we forgot that we must worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. And that we must honor Him. I'm not talking about confusion. I believe that God has things to be done decently and in order. And in the best ability that we can do it. But it ought to be to glorify God. And to praise God. And to worship God. In what? In what that we do. So we must worship, must. And you'll say, now look here in this verse. Shall worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship Him. There's no choice in the matter. I believe there's some must that we have here. There's a must, you must be born again. I believe that there's a must, that the Son of Man must be lifted up. But if you'll look in verse 24, God is spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. These are musts that must be. It's the only way that it can be done. And only the saved can worship the Father. Now, what is worship? Worship is the action of the new man. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. And I believe because of the new nature, having been born again by the Spirit of God, there is a desire in every born again believer to worship the Lord. There is a desire. And it's given. It's within you to worship the Lord. You have a desire to worship the Lord. And it's because of being a new creature in Christ Jesus. I believe that we find that Paul spoke of this in several places. And it's in a sense an activity of a redeemed people. An example was Israel in Egypt. They didn't worship God in Egypt. They could only sigh and cry and groan and moan. Exodus 2. It was not until they had passed through the Red Sea. And then they began to sing unto the Lord. And they begin to praise God. And they begin to worship the Almighty God of heaven. There was the song of redemption in their hearts. Then worship does proceed from the heart. Go to Matthew chapter 15 and look with me in verse 8 and verse 9. This is really a problem today. Verse 8 says, "This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips." Now I believe you ought to praise the Lord with your mouth. I believe you ought to sing with your lips, pray with your lips. But he says, "But their heart is far from me." But it ought to be from the heart. "But in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men." They go through a form with their lips and with their mouth, but their heart's not in. Tell you, I got backslidden when I was a teenager years ago. Got out of church and got backslidden. I could go to church and go through a form, but my heart wasn't in it. Have you ever done that? Have you ever been in a service and yet you wouldn't acknowledge it? You wouldn't tell nobody. Nobody else knew it. Maybe your wife didn't know it. Your husband didn't know it. Your friends, neighbors didn't know it. And you did everything with your lips and with your mouth, but your heart wasn't in it. The heart was way off out here somewhere. Serving the Lord. Brother, I tell you, God is not pleased with that. Y'all know that and I know it. And when you do that, you're not worshiping the Lord. You're not really worshiping. Worship is from the heart. It's a blessing when we can come together. One of the great blessings that's been upon our church is unity. That's one of the blessings that we ought to thank God for every day. And we ought to strive on our behalf to keep it that way. For the glory of God, so that we can come together and that we can be in unity to where we can worship the Lord. In spirit and in truth. And what a blessing it is. And I thank the Lord for it every day. I really do. I thank God to be able to come in here and to be able to preach the Word of God and not to be... not to have to labor and not to be held back and not to be lost for words and can't find a place in the Bible and to fumble around, you know, and try to preach the Word of God. I'm thankful for that. The liberty and the unity that we have. And I know that in such a condition that we can from the heart worship the Lord, and we can come and we can put our hearts into it. There's so much modern worship today that is designed just to please the flesh. I'm thankful, and many times people major on this, I'm thankful that we do have a comfortable building. It'll be a blessing if we do pad these pews. I mean, you know, we're talking about padding these pews, it'll be a blessing. I mean, nothing wrong with that. It'll be a real blessing. But I realize that will help us physically. It'll help me. It won't help me so much as you will you. But anyway, it'll help you physically. I understand that. There's nothing wrong with that. But you know, and I know, that we can or worship even without padded pews. Right. Now it'll be a blessing to have them. I'm not opposed to that. I'm all for it. In other words, I'm geared up for it. You know, and that'll be a real blessing. It'll be comfortable. And that's where it ought to be. And I hope it'll make you be in a better attitude to worship the Lord. Hope it don't go the other way. I may have to holler louder if it goes the other way. But anyway, I'm talking about many times people think that it's the surroundings and it's worrying me. But it's not that. It's that you're saved and that you love the Lord and you know the truth and you come together to meet with the Lord and to worship the Lord. Some of the great services we've had have been some of y'all's homes. Feel the presence and the power of Almighty God. And you can meet in a tent and still worship the Lord just like you can here in this building. If you get to where you're restricted to some building, then you're in bad shape. Or the church, because the Lord ain't confined to no building. Thankful that he does meet with us here, and we have dedicated this place for to meet with the Lord and here to worship him. I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful that we have people to play the piano. I'm thankful for the ones that plays the organ. But you know, we could worship the Lord without them. We could. Nothing wrong with this. And it really, I believe, helps our singing. But we can sing without them. We really could, and this is not necessary, and our worshiping of the Lord is not depending upon it.